Hello, and welcome to the Life Center Podcast. We're a church in Tacoma, Washington that exists to inspire our community to love and follow Jesus. To find out more about what's going on at all of our campuses, you can download the Life Center app, interact with us on social media, or visit lifecenter.com. Let's jump into this week's message. Thanks for listening.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us today at Life Center. We decided to kind of switch up our location because I don't know about you, I'm missing seeing people in the foyer here at our central campus. And so today I asked some of our worship team to hang out with me. And so thanks for being a part of this. Every now and then I feel like I need an amen section. So they're hanging out. Today we begin a brand new series of talks that we've entitled Never Be the Same. Over the next number of weeks, we're going to look at some stories of people who they encounter Jesus. And here's what we're going to learn. There's things that impact us, but only Jesus can change us. There's a lot of things in life that can impact us. In fact, as a culture, as a society, we have been living this out now for well over a month. And stuff is impacting us, but here's the good news about the gospel. It's only Jesus. Only Jesus can change us. In fact, today we're going to look at a story in Luke chapter 19. And I love this story. It's about a guy who is in such a desperate place where he wants to see Jesus that he actually kind of rushes ahead. He's looking for Jesus. He's longing to see Jesus. But Jesus had so much more for him than just that. And listen, even before we go any further, I want you to know today that maybe you tuned in because you're hoping to maybe just get a little glimpse of encouragement. Maybe you're hoping to just get a little glimpse of some hope. But can I tell you, I believe with all of my heart that Jesus has so much more for you than just a glimpse. And here's what I want you to consider today. Have we left kind of where we're at, just kind of looking at Jesus from a distance? Have we kind of settled in with just kind of having a glimpse of Jesus, or will we lean into what he actually wants to bring to our lives? Let's look together to Luke chapter 19. I love this story. We're going to start in verse 1. It says this, Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. Now, maybe that's a brand new character that you've never even heard of in the storyline of Scripture. Luke's gospel is the only gospel account that records this story. If you grew up in church, maybe you remember singing a story about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus had some interesting characteristics. We're going to get to that in a moment. But Jesus, he meets this man named Zacchaeus, and he was a chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. Now, just by that statement, I want us to understand, because of his occupation, he was despised. All the other people who were there that day, they were looking at this guy. They knew who he was. He was a man of wealth, and he had become wealthy by partnering with the oppressors of the people, by partnering with Rome. Therefore, he was kind of an outcast. It says this as it continues on. He tried to get a look at Jesus. Come on, can you say look? Come on, look, right? He was there. He was just trying to somehow get a glimpse of who Jesus was. But he was too short to see over the crowd. There's an obstacle. And what's the obstacle? Well, there was a crowd. They heard Jesus was coming, and they're kind of gathered around Jesus. And here's Zacchaeus. Rich, wealthy, but physically too short to actually be able to stand up and see. And so what does Zacchaeus do? He runs ahead and he climbs a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up and saw Zacchaeus and called him by name. Oh, I love this. Here's why I love this portion of this story right here. Zacchaeus, he's trying to just get a glimpse of Jesus, but this thing is a setup. Jesus already knows who Zacchaeus is, and Jesus, he calls Zacchaeus by name. And he calls out to him. He says, Zacchaeus, come down quickly. Quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today. It's interesting. Jesus doesn't wait for Zacchaeus to invite him over. Jesus invites himself over. You guys have a friend like that who's like, I'm not waiting for you to invite me. I'm just going to invite myself. This was unheard of. And yet, Jesus is teaching us something about the way he pursues people. I must come to your house and be a guest. And Zacchaeus, he quickly climbed down. Come on, can you say quickly? Quickly. He quickly climbed down. He hurried down. He quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. Listen to this, verse 7. But the people were displeased. Imagine that. The people, they're frustrated. He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner. They grumbled. Here's a man in need of rescue. Zacchaeus is overjoyed at the invitation of Jesus, but now the crowd, as they look at the invitation of Jesus, what happens? They begin to grumble. Doesn't he realize who this man is? Doesn't he realize how he's robbed from my family? Doesn't Jesus realize who this cat really is? And Jesus says, no, I need to be a guest in your house today. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I will give half of my wealth to the poor, Lord. And if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. And Jesus responded, salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. Now, verse 10 is key. Why? Because it's actually one of the central themes of Luke's entire gospel. Listen to what Jesus says. For the Son of Man, he's speaking of himself, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost. Jesus makes this declaration. Listen, salvation is here, and here's why I've come. I've come to seek and to save those who are lost. In other words, I am demonstrating, I'm living out my assignment. I'm putting on full display. This is why I have come. It's interesting. Zacchaeus' name literally means righteous one. That's what his name translated is. And yet the problem is he's not necessarily living up to that call. He's not necessarily living up to that place. And yet Jesus, even though he's not yet who he will be, Jesus sees him for what he can be through his grace. You look at this, and Zacchaeus, he's short physically. He's not trusted socially. He runs and climbs. And it's interesting, the people, they're kind of shocked because no man of wealth or stature would run. No man of wealth or stature would be caught like a small child climbing up into the tree to get a glimpse. But here's Zacchaeus. He's heard the stories of this man named Jesus. He just wants to get a glimpse. And little did he know that he wouldn't just see Jesus, but Jesus was actually seeking him. See, today, some of you, you're watching and you're just trying to get a glimpse of Jesus. Can I tell you today, this whole thing is a setup. Why? Because Jesus is still going about his business of seeking and saving those who are lost. Friends, don't get this confused. He already knows where you're at. He knows how to call you by name. And today, listen, will we open up our hearts and not just settle for a glimpse of Jesus, but will we lean into what he actually wants to do? And in this story, there's a layer of scandal attached with this story. Why? Because tax collectors were put on the same level as murderers, as robbers, as the social outcasts. Why? Because they were traitors to their fellow Jewish people. They were being employed by Rome. They were getting rich off of their own countrymen. And yet here's this man that Jesus looks and everybody else sees him as an outcast. But Jesus sees something else. Here's the point. Our limitations and liabilities will never stop the relentless pursuit of Jesus. Our limitations, some of you today, you look at your life and you say, well, that's great. I can see how God loves some people like that, but I have some limitations. Or others of us, we look at our lives and we say, man, there's some liabilities here. I can see how people would, you know, how Jesus might love somebody like that. Man, I could get, like, Anson knows how to sing and worship Jesus. I could see how maybe Jesus would love somebody like that, but I've heard myself sing. I don't know. I think I'm a liability, right? But we need to understand something important. Our limitations and our liabilities will never stop the relentless pursuit of Jesus. You see, in the world that we live in, we have a tendency to despise limitations, right? We don't like any limitations in our lives. Man, I want to be the best at everything I can be. And so whenever we come face to face with a limitation, what was Zacchaeus' limitation? His limitation was he was short. He was short. Listen, he was limited to what he could see in his own strength. So his stature was a limitation, but check this out. His occupation was a liability. See, some people are looking at Zacchaeus going, I don't even want to be in association with that guy. If you really know the things of God, how could you ever associate with someone like that? But Jesus, even though he sees the limitations, he sees the liabilities, what does he do? He continues to relentlessly pursue those who need rescue. He came to seek and to save those who are lost. See, today there's two things that I want us to consider from these few verses in Luke chapter 19. The first is this. Listen, no matter the limitation or liability, Jesus sees someone to love. Here's my concern. Some of us, we look at our limitations, and that's how we think Jesus sees us. Some of us, we look at our liabilities and all the areas that are still kind of in process, and we're saying, okay, Jesus, I want to get a glimpse of you, but I don't know if you actually want anything to do with me. But friends, understand this. Jesus doesn't just see the limitations or liabilities in your life. He sees somebody to love. It's his purpose. It's his rescue plan. You see, as we begin to unpack what's happening right here in these 10 verses, what do we see? Well, we see a Savior who seeks. A Savior who seeks. Some of us, we've heard the truth that God wants to seek after us, but I wonder how many of us today, we still wrestle with this idea of a God who's willing to come to somebody like us. Yeah. Someone like me. Listen, if you're wondering today whether or not this is all about you getting your act together and fixing stuff so that somehow you can climb your way up to be accepted by God, this story is for you. Jesus is revealing he's the king who came to seek. He's a Savior who came to seek. Zacchaeus wanted a look, but what did Jesus want? Jesus wanted relationship. Jesus wanted relationship. And listen, it appears throughout the storyline, you start reading in verse 1, it appears like Zacchaeus is the instigator, right? He heard about Jesus, and so I heard Jesus coming in. You can almost picture it kind of peeking through the crowd, trying to get up, but again, the limitation, he's too short. All of a sudden, I know what I'll do. I'm going to run ahead. There's that tree down the road. There's a tree just down the way. I'm going to climb up and I'm going to get a look at Jesus. And it appears like it's Zacchaeus's effort that's going to set up this opportunity to see Jesus. But what Zacchaeus doesn't even understand is it was all a setup. It's not that Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. It's that Jesus wanted to get together with Zacchaeus. Jesus was pursuing him before he even realized it. And here's why this is so important. Catch this. Listen, this is why this is so important. Today might be your setup. Listen, today, some of you climbed up that sycamore fig tree called jumping online. You tuned in, you're on Facebook Live, you're on YouTube Live right now, and you're just climbing up trying to get a glimpse of Jesus, and what you don't even understand is you're coming face to face with the Savior that has been seeking you. This whole thing, it's been a setup. And Jesus has so much more for you than just a simple glimpse of who he is. See, what are we seeing? Well, we're seeing a continuation of what Jesus talked about a few chapters earlier in Luke 15, where he talks about a lost sheep, a lost coin, and two lost sons. And about the heart of God that wants to go after and seek things that are lost. See, we see a Savior who seeks. Not only do we see a Savior who seeks, do you notice that we see a Savior who's willing to stop? How many times do we read scripture and we think about all the steps that Jesus took, right? So we think about his journeys, but have you ever stopped to consider how many times Jesus stopped? Think about this. There he is. He's walking, man. There's crowds all around him. And all of a sudden, he comes to a certain place in the road in the city of Jericho, and he stops and he looks up and he calls this man by name, Zacchaeus. Jesus is a Savior who's willing to stop. Check this out. Think about all the different places. Think about how Jesus stops and talks to the woman at the well. Think about the time when Jesus stops and heals the man with the withered hand. Every person who was blind and couldn't see, they were deaf and they couldn't hear, the lame who couldn't walk, the demon-possessed man who was paralyzed, the dying daughter, the woman with the issue of blood. Time and time again throughout the gospel accounts, what do we see? We see a Savior who not only seeks, but a Savior who's willing to stop, to slow down. You see, Jesus never appears to be in so much of a hurry that he's unwilling to stop and love the person. He's willing to stop, to love the person. Can I tell you? Today, Jesus isn't too busy to stop and get your attention, to love you as an individual. Liabilities and all, limitations and all. He sees you. He loves you. Jesus stops and he looks and he calls Zacchaeus by name. What I love about this, Jesus knew Zacchaeus' name even in the midst of a crowd. How many times have you been in a crowd and you feel like you're the only person? You feel like, hey, no one even really recognizes me. No one even knows who I am. Nobody can even see me. Can I tell you, no matter how crowded your life feels like right now, Jesus sees you. No matter how maybe lost in the crowd of confusion going on in society, the panic that's sweeping the nation and the globe and all the different anxieties, can I tell you that Jesus is willing to stop and recognize you as a person he came to seek? To love, to stop, to love. But he doesn't just seek, he doesn't just stop. Guess what Jesus also does? He's a Savior who's willing to speak. He calls out to Zacchaeus, and he came to seek and save those who are lost. He calls out to Zacchaeus, and guess what? He's still calling out to people today. I love what Jesus says in John chapter 10, verse 3. He's talking about how ultimately, he is the good shepherd. And he says this, he says, the sheep recognize my voice and they come to me. When I call my sheep by name, I know how to lead them out. They follow me. They follow me. Jesus invites himself over. And listen, if we would slow down for a moment, I wonder how many of us, we would begin to hear the voice of Jesus. And he's saying, hey, I need to come over today. I need to show up in that place that you're in today. I need to show up in your living room today. I need to bring my peace today. Why? Because I came on a mission to seek and to save those who are lost. Here's the second thing that I think we see from Luke 19. The reach of Jesus, it always creates a response. The reach of Jesus, it always creates a response. I love that Jesus says to him, hey, quick, come on down. Hurry down. hurry down. Zacchaeus, he rushes down the tree. He invites Jesus over. The crowd's definitely disappointed. And here's Zacchaeus in the midst of all of this. Zacchaeus makes a vow. He says, Jesus, listen, if I've cheated anybody anything, I'm going to repay it four times. And over half of my wealth, I'm going to give that to the poor. Here's what I want you to see. You see, that gift, it wasn't a precondition to Jesus' acceptance. It was a result of his acceptance. In other words, Zacchaeus is not saying that with some hope that, Jesus, if I do this, then will you kind of let me in? Jesus, if I kind of make this incredible vow of generosity, then will it be enough? No, no, no. Zacchaeus is actually making a response of gratitude out of the fact that I've been accepted. I've been welcomed in. Man, everybody treats me like I have all these liabilities. Everybody treats me like I have all of these limitations. Yet I encountered somebody today and he looked at me and he called me by name. He welcomed me in. And Lord, because I've been accepted by you, here's what I'm going to do. I love that. It wasn't to try to get in. It was because he was already in. It's because grace had met him. You see, Jesus makes this incredible reach in his actions, in his invitation. It leads to responses. It leads to some responses. What's Zacchaeus' response? It's praise. Zacchaeus' response, wow, I can't believe that he knows everything about me, yet he accepts me. And so you have one response from Zacchaeus, which is praise. But you have another response from the crowd. And what's their response? Protest. What's your response when you experience people receiving grace they don't deserve? Do we praise? Jesus, thank you. Man, because I'm accepted. And then the crowd, how does the crowd respond? Jesus, don't you understand the type of person this is? Don't you understand what you are doing? You see, radical grace always creates either praise or protest in our lives. You see, we all have a response when it comes to the reach of Jesus. We all have a response. And you may say, well, Tyler, I'm not responding. I'm just checking this out. Listen, even not doing something is a response. Don't kid yourself. See, today, Jesus is still reaching. He's still in the business of rescuing. Why? Because he wants us to encounter a grace that will transform us. Notice the grace did not empower him to stay as he was. It empowered him to live a new life. Grace always empowers transformation. See, how will we respond to his reach? Another question is, how will we respond when people who we feel like don't deserve it, when they experience that reach? You see, we see the radical nature of the grace of Jesus in this story. And it's for, yes, the poor and the oppressed, but guess who else this grace is for? It's also for the rich and the oppressor. That's what's interesting about this story is Zacchaeus is wealthy. He's kind of oppressed some of his fellow countrymen. And did you notice that grace is as much for him as it is for the broken, the hurting, the lost, the weak? God's grace is available for all who would come, but that grace never leaves them where they were. He came to seek and to save, to reach and redeem, to repair, to rebuild. You see, the real grace of Jesus, hear this clearly, the real grace of Jesus at times can feel scandalous. Why? Because it seeks to include those who we want to exclude. Sometimes we look at grace and we go, okay, Jesus, thank you for saving me, but then we watch how he reaches and rescues and transforms the life of somebody that we're like, no, they don't deserve it. They don't deserve your grace. I deserve, but they don't deserve. Can I tell you, sometimes grace is shocking. We see it in the crowd. Why? Because they begin to protest. No, no, Jesus, no, this isn't fair. But understand, grace seeks to bring transformation. Grace isn't just kind of laid on people and say, hey, it's just empowerment to keep on doing what you're doing. No, no, no. Grace transformed Zacchaeus. Grace transforms individuals. It doesn't leave us in the same place we once were. See, Jesus is a Savior who's still seeking. He's willing to stop and take note of where you are at today. See, today, maybe you feel like you're up in the tree, and because of your limitations, you just wanted to get a glimpse, but you're not necessarily expecting much more than that. Can I tell you? Jesus is willing to stop and call your name today. Today. Jesus, his voice of love, it's still speaking, it's still calling out to us. And let's be honest, today you might look at your life and you see a lot of limitations. See a lot of areas that, well, God, I can't do this. I'm not doing enough. I'm not good enough yet. I don't have it all together yet. And maybe it's not the limitations. Maybe it's the liabilities. God, you know where I've been. You know what I've done. I have so much brokenness in my past. I don't know how you could ever think about not just using somebody like me, but actually loving somebody like me. Can I remind you, Jesus not only saves sinners, he loves sinners. It's all of us. We've all messed up. We've all fallen short. See, Jesus, he sees someone to love today. When he looks at you, he sees somebody he loves. He's already proven his love, by the way. We just celebrated it a number of days ago during Easter. He sees somebody he wants to love and wants to transform through his grace. Why? So that we would never be the same. He doesn't want to leave you in the condition that you're in. Listen, I've been journeying with Jesus for a lot of years, and guess what? He doesn't want to leave me in the same condition I'm in. He wants to continue to transform us, renew us, and helping us and empowering us to never be the same. Limitations, liabilities, obstacles. Maybe you feel like you're an outcast. Can I tell you, Jesus looks at all of us. He calls us by name and he says, hey, I've come to seek and to save those who are lost. Today, if you desire that fresh start with God, maybe you're realizing right now, man, Tyler, I jumped online today just trying to get a glimpse, and now I feel like this whole thing is a setup. Man, I feel like somehow you have cameras set up in my living room or something, because I feel like you're speaking directly to me. Can I tell you, that's Jesus' voice calling out to you. He knows you by name. And he wants nothing more than to pull you into relationship with him. He wants to pour out his abundant grace on your life that empowers you not to stay where you were, but empowers you to live a life that will never be the same. Today, if you want to make that decision, can I invite you to say a simple prayer with me right there on the other side of that screen? Here's what I want you to do. Would you repeat this simple prayer with me? Just repeat these words after me. Say, Jesus, thank you for loving me. I put my trust in you. Forgive me of my sin. Make me a new creation. And help me to follow you every day of my life. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Listen, for those who just prayed that prayer, I want to be the first to welcome you to the greatest decision you could have ever made. Just like Zacchaeus that day, that he's welcomed into this relationship. Jesus is a guest in his home. And man, it leads to this radical transformation. He was never the same. Here's what I believe with all of my heart. You will never be the same. I believe that. As well, listen, I want to encourage the rest of us. Maybe some of us, we've been a follower of Jesus for a while, but we're on the sideline. we're on the sideline, and we kind of know that Jesus has touched us, changed us, but we've kind of settled into just life as we know it. Can I tell you, Jesus wants to use us to be a part of his great rescue plan. Jesus is still in the business of seeking and saving the lost. That's why at Life Center, our passion is that we would know Jesus and make him known. It's why we do what we do. So can I remind you this week, you don't just go to church. Come on. You know that's true, right? We're doing church at home. We've kind of mixed up this whole thing. We don't just go to church. We are the church. And so I want to encourage you, make it your passion this week to know Jesus and make him known. And don't settle for just kind of climbing up in the tree and looking at Jesus from a distance. No, lean in. He's calling us by name. He wants relationship. Let's welcome him into our home literally this week and say, Jesus, what do you want to do in me? What do you want to do through me? Because listen, there's a city that he's calling us to love. There's family members, friends, neighbors that he's calling us to be a part of his great rescue plan with. And so, thanks so much for joining with us this week at Life Center. I miss seeing you. I hope you have a wonderful week. We'll see you soon.